how to trust your gut and get better at listening to your intuition. That's today's topic for the Big Idea of the Week episode. Big Idea of the Week episodes are where I come to you with a thought, a distinction, an idea that's radically transformed my life for the better. And today we're talking about trusting your gut and getting better at listening to your intuition. First, let's be clear about something. Intuition is as real as rain, as they say. Not only have many of us felt it at numerous occasions inside of our life, we know that feeling when our intuition is speaking to us, but, and here's the thing, science has confirmed it. There's a whole host of researchers and physicians and authors that have explored this concept. One of the people that I've enjoyed her work, Dr. Judith Olof, MD. She's an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at UCLA. And she talks about intuition being the right side of our brain, the brain's hippocampus, and most importantly, the gut. Our gut, our actual whole intestinal system. Our gut is our body's second brain. There are 100 million neurons in the small intestines alone, and 500 million neurons total in the intrinsic nervous system. That's the second largest collection of neurons and glial cells outside of the brain. So why this is so important is we often think of intuition, and we often think about listening to our intuition as just a mental thing, but it's not a mental thing. It's a body thing. It's our entire body. These brains, our regular brain that's in our head and our gut, are connected to each other. They're connected through the vagal nerve. You've probably heard past guests on this podcast talk about this. It's the 10th cranial nerve, and it's a bi-directional superhighway that allows for all sorts of communication between the gut and the brain. And crazy, this is the fact that always blows my mind, which of the brains do you think is doing the most communicating on this superhighway? Is it our brain communicating more to the gut, or is it the gut communicating more to the brain? Well, it turns out it's the gut that's speaking more to the brain. The body is sending more messages to the brain than the brain is sending down to the body, specifically the gut. So what does this all mean? And why is it important? It means that our brain and our body are linked, and that intuition is not just a mental thing. It's not just about our brain. It's also about our gut. It's about trusting our gut. We have all these phrases in society. We say, trust your gut. Your gut is your intuition. Trust your intuition. We say, find your center. Your center is your abdomen region. It's the center of gravity for you inside of your body, and it's a major part of your intuition. Yes, your brain is very important. It's one of the things that makes sense of all this information, your prefrontal cortex processing what all this information means, but your gut is a major part of your intuition, and don't ever forget that. This is why we've done so many episodes with experts on the gut. Not only is the gut so central to our healing, our digestion, our immune system. 80% of our body's immune system is located inside of the gut, but it's also a big part of our intuition. When we clean out our gut, we get better at listening to our intuition. I've done a ton of episodes on this, so we're not gonna go deep into that on today's Big Idea episode. We're gonna cover a few other topics. So now that we understand this, let's talk about listening to our intuition. See, our intuition is literally speaking to us all day. 24/7, our intuition is speaking to us. But if you can't hear its voice, its hidden messages, its guiding direction, it could be that you've been practicing ignoring it. You know, sometimes we say, trust your gut. But in this first big idea, my theory that I want to put out there is don't ignore your gut. And sometimes we have practiced ignoring our gut. Our intuition doesn't just speak to us in life's big events. It speaks to us in quote unquote, the small events, the everyday events too. It's not just in these big, grandiose moments of who should I marry or what decision should I make of what career to pursue or what should I study in school. It's on a daily basis that our intuition is speaking to us. Here's a great example. We just completed an election. Well, some people would say we completed it. Others maybe would disagree. But we just completed an election. And in the run-up to the election and during the election and now in the aftermath, there is a lot of media attention on what's going on. And I'm all about being informed. I like to be informed. I like to listen to long format news. I like to occasionally check out some of the highlights that are there. I am definitely interested in politics. And being informed can sometimes turn into an addiction of, I need to know what's going on. Right now, I need to know what's going on. Has anything changed? What's this person say? What did Trump tweet? What did this person say back to them? That obsession, when media consumption becomes an addiction, can put us in a place where we can feel, regardless of what people's politics are, we can feel overstimulated. Have you ever felt overstimulated? Maybe not by the election, but some sort of other topic that you follow very closely and you were looking at all the time. Your body communicating to you that it's overstimulated and you choosing to continue to go down the rabbit hole of more and more and more and more and more information to satisfy this yearning of, if I don't know what's going on in this exact moment, then I'm going to be out of the loop or I'm going to be separated or it's life or death in this situation. That subtle speaking of your body telling you that it's overstimulated is part of its intuition saying, look, just take a break from the media. We don't need this right now. Or it's bedtime. And if you continue to scroll, if you continue to look, if you continue to read, that's you going against the intuition of your body subtly speaking to you through maybe physical ailments, right? Telling you that it's tired, your eyes being strained, or even just this general feeling of like, I feel overstimulated. It's a feeling in the body, even if your brain hasn't processed it. That's a perfect example. We feel overstimulated, but we continue to go on because there's a little addiction inside of us of wanting to know more. Here's another example. It's a little bit more of a subtle example. Let's say you had a fight with a loved one, right? A partner, a child, you know, whoever it might be. And even though you quote unquote won the argument and you got the upper hand in the argument, we've all been in these situations, right? Let's say you've won the argument or you've got the upper hand in the argument. When you leave the situation, you go on your day, you go to work, you go to the next things, you and that person separate, there starts to become this feeling that you have, a pit in your stomach that is telling you that you do not feel good. And when you really think about it, there's this sense of that maybe you were also partially in the wrong. But you ignore your body's subtle sensations that want to repair and forgive and be the bigger person because the ego wants to be right. So that's another example of our intuition subtly speaking to us, right? From the outside, it might look like you won, and you might even made your partner or your kid or your child feel bad about themselves in this argument. And yeah, okay, you won, but there's a sensation inside of you that does not feel good. Because even though you quote unquote won, which is never really the goal in connecting people, doesn't mean we can't communicate what's right, but it's not the goal. The goal is to really translate understanding. And there's this part of you inside that just feels like understanding and love was not part of it. This is somebody that you care about, and it left the situation with more of a sense of dominance rather than a sense of connection. That's a subtle example. And like that, there's plenty of other examples that we all have in our life of little moments where our intuition is trying to speak to us. But the question is, are we listening? Practicing listening to our intuition in life's little moments is exactly what will help us get better at hearing our intuition in life's bigger moments. When your body feels tired, but you're not allowing it to rest, you're continuing to binge watch or again, media overstimulation. Another example, when you say yes to a commitment, but there's this feeling inside that it's not something you want to do, but you're doing it maybe to people please someone. Now, the goal isn't to perfectly listen to our intuition each day. Sometimes we have to legitimately power through something. And parents, especially mothers, know about this. They have to power through even though their body is tired. They have to power through even though they might feel like they want to react and freak out on their kid and yell at them for having their own meltdown that's there. But it's important to know that being aware that we either aren't listening to our intuition or that we're overriding our intuition in this moment is really the key. You know, so many of these Big Idea Tuesdays, Big Idea Wednesdays, Big Idea of the Week episodes that I do are about awareness. And this topic of intuition falls in that same boat. It's not about being perfect and listening to our intuition in each moment. But it is about practicing the awareness that in this moment we can't or we're not going to listen to our intuition. Sometimes that can be as simple as writing it down. I have the intuition side that I want to go do something. Maybe I feel I can't or I don't want to listen or I don't have the courage to listen in this moment, but I'm just going to write it down. We can make a list, like a little to-do list, and write down the little moments in the day where we ignore or override our intuition. There's no right or wrong or judgment about it. Your body is actually, intuition is partly your body just speaking its truth and doing its job. And there will be moments where you can't listen to your intuition, and that's okay. Just be aware that you can't or you're choosing not to. That's big idea number one. One of the ways to practice our intuition is getting better at listening in life's smaller moments so that we can call upon our intuition and get better at listening and hearing it in life's bigger moments. Okay, big idea number two. We've done so many episodes on meditation, and meditation is one of life's ultimate life hacks when it comes to intuition. I also know that not everyone catches the meditation bug, has a great meditation teacher or experience that really gets them in it, or people go in and out of waves of meditation. I know that I can relate. I was in periods of my life where I was practicing meditation every single day, being what one of my friends, Light Watkins, on a past episode calls being a daily meditator. And then there's other times where I go for periods where I'm not meditating. And I would be very sad if I didn't mention that if you've never tried meditation, go back and listen. We'll link to it. Go back and listen to a couple episodes with a few people on this podcast. Megan Monahan, Light Watkins, Emily Fletcher, who have been incredible in breaking down the science of meditation and also telling stories about why meditation can be helpful. Now, as an alternative or in addition to, I find that one other practice that's there, I don't know if I should say an alternative, because they're not mutually exclusive. But I do find that one other practice, a powerful practice, an underrated practice that's out there, which is big idea number two, is walking. Walking, long walks especially, an hour or more, are so incredibly underrated when it comes to intuition. I'm sure you've heard people talk about walking for a whole host of topics, but I'm going to talk about walking when it comes to intuition, quieting the mind, and changing perspective. First of all, the beautiful thing about walking is that it gets you into nature. Just getting you outside, even if you live in a city, and breathing fresh air and seeing the sun, even if that sun is covered by the clouds as we enter into fall and winter, it's still nature, gets you into nature. If you have access to greenery, just seeing greenery. Here's the crazy thing. There's been studies that have been shown that seeing just even a little bit of greenery, even if that's fake greenery in your house, a fake plant, is something that soothes the nervous system and de-stresses us. So seeing nature de-stresses us. And walking, just like we talk about trusting your gut and that phrase that we use, because our gut is our second brain and it's deeply part of our intuition. There's a phrase that we use with walking that we use in life as well. You need a change in perspective. Change in perspective. Walking literally gives you a change in perspective, and it can take you out of fight flight, or freeze. It can subtly take you out of fight, flight, or freeze in that moment. How so? Well, earlier this week, we interviewed Dr. Steven Denziger on the topic of EMDR. We've also had past guests like Andrew Huberman from Stanford talk about EMDR, which is a process that a therapist would use that combines cognitive behavioral therapy and talk therapy with this process of creating lateral eye movements. You can Google it or you can listen back to one of those episodes, but basically the idea is this. Dr. Francine Shapiro, who invented EMDR, found that when she went on a walk, the concerns and anxiety that she had about what was going on in her life were much more subtle than if she was just sitting in a chair or talking with a friend or thinking about it on her own. And she started to investigate and say, why is it that walking does this for me? And could this do this for other people? So in a grossly oversimplification of the process, just from the perspectives to help you understand why walking is so powerful, what she found is that when our eyes move laterally from left to right or right to left, and they're looking out on a horizon or a plane, right? So think about yourself walking down the street or walking, you know, on a little hike or in nature. As you're walking, you're scanning the horizon. Your eyes are catching different things that are in front of you. They're looking at a tree, now something closer, now something on the right, now back to something on the left. It's natural that our eyes move left to right as we're walking and scanning the horizon. This bilateral eye movement, this lateral eye movement that's taking place from left to right is one of the things that signals to the nervous system that we are moving, that we are walking. Now, it happens naturally when we walk, and EMDR is a practice that therapists have used to recreate that same effect as if we are walking, but it originated and it came from Dr. Francine Shapiro actually walking and noticing something very powerful. When she walked and her eyes moved left and right, she started to feel more calm, less anxious, more able to process her intuitive feelings and get perspective on things. This is the power of walking. And there's all sorts of different theories, but one of the main theories that's out there is that evolutionarily, when we walked and we went from place to place as we were looking for food, we were making progress. And as long as we're making progress, when we're walking, the body starts to feel okay. The body starts to feel like, okay, whatever's going on in life, I'm making progress. I'm on the move. I'm looking for food. I'm looking for better grounds. I'm avoiding stress. I'm avoiding a threat that's out there. So when we walk, we are tapping back into that evolutionary biology that we all have. And when we scan the horizon, we look out and we're not on our phone. And we're just paying attention to being a human being who's walking. Even though life's problems exist, even though sometimes we're not sure what the next step is or what we want to do or where something stands in our life, walking, the simple act of walking and being present is one of the things that will help us tap into our intuition. I also kind of stumbled upon this with a group of friends. I've always felt great walking, but like many people, it was a very underrated thing in my life. And then a group of my friends decided that we should start to get together and walk every Thursday. So every Thursday morning, most weeks out of the year, I'd say 35 weeks out of the year, 52 weeks, we go on a walk together. Every week, it's the same time. It's 7 a.m. and it's a group of my guy friends. We actually call it Man Morning Thursday. You might have heard me talk about it on this podcast before. Group of guys, all growth mindset, different entrepreneurs who are working on different businesses, have relationships, have kids, a lot of things that are going on and want to be the best man, the best partner, the best human being in their life that they can. And like everyone else, we have things that we're dealing with, stressors that come in, times where we're not clear on what's going on. Now, part of it is that it's beautiful to be able to walk with friends. That's another advantage of walking. But it's also that we're just out in nature. And even if we don't get an answer, let's say somebody in the group talks about something difficult they went through that week. even if they don't get an answer, even if they're not looking for an answer from somebody, just the simple act of walking and talking about what it is that you're thinking about, or thinking about what it is you're thinking about, is something that helps every single member feel better. Then there was a period of time where there was the wildfires that were here in California. And a few years ago, there was another situation where we could not walk outside because air quality or a whole host of other things. And one time we were mixing it up and we said, okay, let's not walk. Let's just go to a coffee shop. We'd go to a coffee shop. We'd have the same conversations. We'd talk about the same thing. We'd ask each other the same questions. And it wasn't that it was bad. It wasn't that it wasn't still good to get together and talk. It just didn't feel the same way. And the group sat around the table and said, I think we got to go back to walking. Walking is really what makes the difference. And that's exactly what walking does, is it does make a difference. And there seems to be science that backs it up. Yeah, a short walk can be beneficial, but something magical happens when you go on a little bit of a longer walk, at least about an hour. Even if your thoughts are all over the place, there's something about your mind starting to quiet down when you're in nature, when you can put down the phone and you can be present, whether you're walking with a friend or by yourself. It's so simple that it's often overlooked, but it's one of the most powerful things that we can do to tap back into our intuition. Of course, meditation is up there, but walking is another aspect that we can incorporate into our life. That's big idea number two. Don't underestimate the power of walking. Big idea number three, find the fear or allow. Find the fear or allow. So often when it comes to intuition, I hear from my friends that they feel confused. They feel confused. They can't tap into their intuition. They aren't clearly hearing their intuition. And they don't know how to move forward with a decision in their life or something that they're thinking about. Okay, so I have some thoughts on that. The first thing is to understand that not knowing the answer to a question. So let's say there's something in your life you want to do. Should I pursue this career? Should I move forward with this relationship? Should I do X or should I do Y? Not knowing the answer to that question doesn't mean you're confused. It just means you don't know. And that's important to understand when it comes to intuition. See, confusion is not knowing, but needing to know. I feel confused is I don't know the answer to something, but I need to know. So I'm confused. The needing is where the anxiety and stress comes from. And sometimes we can create so much anxiety and stress in our lives that it prevents us from actually hearing our intuition. So we want to make sure that if we feel confused about something, can we turn that into something else, right? So here's what I mean by that. When I hear people say, I'm so confused, I don't know what I want, I feel like I'm hearing one of two things, which is key for intuition. The first thing I think I'm hearing is, I don't know what I want, but I feel I should know. I should know. I don't know what I want, but I feel I should know. The second thing that I think I'm hearing when people say I'm so confused, I don't know what I want, is I do know what I want, but I'm afraid of the consequences of my decision. This goes back to the topic of today's, of this big idea number three, find the fear or allow. If you don't know what you want, if you can't tap into your intuition, here's my suggestion. Breathe and slow down. The answers always come if we're willing to be silent enough to hear them. And silence doesn't mean actual silence, although it could. It just means silencing the part of our brain that says, I need to know. I want to know right now. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes we don't know and the answers are revealing themselves. We need a little bit more information to allow our intuition to kick in. So the answers always come if we're willing to be silent enough to hear them. Allow things to unfold. Allow things to unfold. The pressure of needing to know is going to drive you freaking nuts. A lot of growth happens when we become comfortable being uncomfortable. It's worked that way for you in the past. It's worked that way for me in the past, and it will happen again. Now, if you remember, the second thing I said was, when I hear people say that I'm so confused, I don't know what I want, what I think that they really mean is I do know what I want, but I'm afraid of the consequences of my decisions. So if that's you, or you can identify with that, if you do know what you want, but you're afraid of the consequences of your decision, here's my suggestion. Address the fear. It always comes back to fear. Write your fears down on paper. Be clear about them. Don't hide from them. Give a name and a face to the boogie monster that's holding you back. Monsters are never as scary as they seem when we can see what they really look like in daylight. Haven't you ever noticed that? The scariest Halloween movies or horror stories are always the one where you can't exactly see what the monster or the alien looks like. Once you actually see it, you're like, oh, is that it? Is that the alien? It looks, you know, not that scary to me now. That's the same thing with our fears. When we actually give them a name, give them a face, write them down, see them in front of us, bring daylight to it, it changes our perspective. So I know I've shared this before on a past Big Idea episode, but if I had to put my money on it, I'd say that most people who say they're confused and can't tap into their intuition actually do know what they want. But for some reason, they're scared. Scared of making the wrong choice, scared of losing love, scared of failing. Being scared is a great thing. It shows you that you care. But when we stop listening to our intuition, when we stop trusting our intuition because we're scared, we don't learn the lesson that we were meant to learn. Be honest with yourself. Question with your fears. Go for what you want. These are three big ideas on trusting your gut, on the topic of how to trust your gut and get better at listening to your intuition. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have, do me a favor. Share it with a friend who could really use this. I don't even want to say advice, because I'm not here to give anybody advice. I'm here to give you, and me, by the way, reminders. These are all things. If anything in this podcast resonated with you, it's because you already know it, which goes back to your intuition. There's just subtle truths that we internally know, but we're human beings. This goes for me as well. We forget sometimes, and we need a reminder. We need a reminder from someone, and we need an opportunity for reflection and perspective. That's what today's episode is all about. Thank you again for tuning in. Drew Perrott here, signing off. This was this week's Big Idea of the Week episode.